The longer that I serve the Lord, the more I realize that, well, how can I say this? You know, let me restart it, I guess. I have lived in this realm of self-delusion, believing that most Christians truly want more of God. What I've come to realize is that most Christians say they want more of God, but they really don't. And it's not that they're mad at God or anything like that. It's kind of like we tend to reach a comfort zone. And that's where we live. And I know that I've come to realize that if I do not do my part, God cannot do His part. It's very simple. We tend to live with what I would call self-interpretation of Scripture. Now, here's what I mean. There's a passage, I don't remember the chapter and verse, but it says that God's working in us to will and to do of His good pleasure. Now, if you just take that verse alone, then it would seem like, well, I can just live and God's going to work in me to will and to do of His good pleasure, and, well, I'll change. Things will be different. I mean, I'm not struggling with, you know, sin. I mean, no booze or porno or, I mean, no drugs, none of that stuff now. None of that. I don't cuss and everything else. But He's going to work in me to will and to do of His good pleasure to make me, you know, what I ought to be. And there was a song years ago that said, He's still working on me to make me the way I ought to be. And then they talk something about the moon and the stars and whatever, you know, and He's still working on me. Well, the impression of all of that, that song, I guess, was based on that He's working in us to will and to do of His good pleasure. If you don't watch out, you can just assume that He's going to do it regardless. And the thing is, our very salvation proves that theory wrong. Here's what I mean. God sent Jesus to be our sacrifice, to be the sacrifice for our sins. And Jesus Himself stated in John chapter 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So the key then is I have to do the believing part before I can have the living part. Meaning, there's something I have to do before He can do His part. In another place, we read that all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, if I don't call upon the name of the Lord, then guess what? I'm not saved. Therefore, again, we see that I have a role to play in what God does in my life. So I did my part. I did the believing part. I did my calling upon the name of the Lord part. And then God did His saving part. Why in the world would I think it stops there relative to my responsibility? Why would I think that I don't need to do anything else? Well, when you begin to read from Romans all the way through to Revelation chapter 3, you see that we have responsibility and that God is limited in our lives by virtue of how much we do our part. Now, here in Colossians, we see something about this. In Colossians chapter 3, It says in verse 1, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." See that? This is a short passage of revelation concerning my responsibility. He says, look, if you're born again, if you're risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Set your affection on things above. I have to be the one to set my affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Not on things on the earth. Let me say it another way. Not on things pertaining to this world in which we live. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Based on the time of year this message is being taught, I will use events that have recently transpired to exemplify this whole concept. And this example will not apply to everyone, I know it, but it will apply to millions. This time of year, we have here in the United States what is referred to as the college bowl games. The college bowl games are very entertaining because they feature college football. Now, I am someone who used to watch these games a lot. In fact, I remember the time that I actually set up 4 TVs to watch 4 different games at the same time. At that time, I felt like it was one of the greatest experiences of my life. There are now so many bowl games, they actually have to use teams with losing records so they have enough teams to play in the bowl games. What a joke. Well, I dealt with me about all of this a while back. And to shorten it and sum it up, my attitude has been, I do not want to be interested in this sport anymore. My goodness, Brother Martin, how drastic. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. The last time I checked, all these football games were played somewhere here on earth. Are you with me? To be a little more descriptive, I have slowly been removing that needle from my arm. I did not watch any game in its entirety this year. Not one. Now that's a whole lot different from the way it used to be. Even the team that I root for, win or lose, I would watch the games. That did not happen this year. I watched part of it. In fact, the most single game I watched was the last half of the Rose Bowl. That was it. I was in and out of the room, do this, do that, change the channel, watch something else, whatever. You know why? It's not because I had made college football a god. I had already I watch games all day long on Saturdays, and I don't do that anymore. I just don't do it. And it's not because I heard this booming voice from heaven, "Thou shalt stop watch." I did not hear anything like that. I just thought this isn't the thing that I should be doing. It's not right. I do not want my affection so focused on that. Does that mean I'll never watch it again? No, it doesn't mean that. What it means is, here's the way it's going. The day is coming when I may not watch much of any of Ohio State football games. I challenge every single one of you who has a favorite team to do something like that. Now, the reason I'm saying that is not because watching college football is a sin. You can make it one when it consumes your life. And if you get jacked out of shape when your team loses, you have an idol in your life.
How dare you say that to me?
I just proved my point, didn't I? Yeah, it's an idol. It's become an idol. Because, you know, the more I'm thinking about all this, and I realize, you know, every stinking year, the hype is like they just keep feeding, you know, the drug into your vein. This player is one of the greatest. This team is one of this defense, this coach, this. And I thought, you know, this is stupid. It's like those infomercials when they're trying to sell you all of their junk. It's like that those little commercials where they're trying to sell you something and then, but wait, order now and we'll double the offer. It's like, yeah, I'm not that dumb, but it is a neat product, maybe. You follow what I'm saying? Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Does that mean we can't like anything on earth? That doesn't mean that at all. Let me say it another way. Get your priorities in order. And I'm only using the college football thing because that's the time of year where we are, and the national championship game is coming up in about a week, I guess. And I can tell you right now, I might watch some of it, but I guarantee you, I will not be watching that whole game. You know why? Because there's more and more and more in me that cares less and less and less about all of that. Now, it didn't happen because God showed up and threatened me, or some angel slapped me in the head. No. It happened because that's what I wanted to do. And I made that decision when I still wanted to watch all the games. I saw an imbalance in my life. And I made a decision, I will redirect my affection. And what's interesting is that what I'm sharing with you about me and college football has been my favorite sport for years and years and years. That's what I really like. But there are other things in life that I've noticed I'm just not as attentive to. Does that make any sense? They don't mean as much to me as they used to. And I've actually kind of thought, you know, well, am I getting kind of weird about, you know, like, am I turning into some kind of a hermit recluse? No, I'm not. What it is, I'm making a decision to set my affection on things above. Now, I'm not better than anybody else. All I did was make a choice. That's it. I simply made a choice. And I'm risen with Christ. Therefore, he says, you're supposed to seek those things which are above. Nowhere in here does he say, ignore all the things on earth. He doesn't say that. He says, seek those things which are... Now, why would I have to do that if those things were going to automatically become a part of my life? I'm risen with Christ. We've already established that. But those things which are above... In other words, those things which are related to being risen with Christ, those things which originate with God, if those things were just going to happen to me, if it was just going to manifest, if God was going to work in me to will and to do of His good pleasure and make these things happen, why would I have to seek? Why couldn't I just sit on a couch, watch all the football games, and it's going to happen? But he says, seek. This is because my will is involved. He says, you're risen with Christ. Well, see, now you have access to the throne of grace. Now you have access to those things which are above, because spiritually you are now compatible with those things which are above. Therefore, you need to seek them because they're available to you, but they're not going to just happen. And he says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. So I work on setting my affection, changing my affections from things on the earth. This word affection, don't think in terms of, well, you're not supposed to like anything according to what Pastor Martin says. No. No. Think of it as those things which you endear to yourself the most. Those things that you place the highest value on. You understand what I'm saying about that? I'm trying to clarify a little bit. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. So, again, I have to be the one to do this. So I make that decision to set my affection on things above. I made the decision, speaking again of college football, I made the decision, I choose not to have great affection for that sport. I choose not to. Now, I'll read the sports section in the newspaper. In fact, what I have found is I'm reading fewer articles in the sports section. Articles I used to have, you know, wanted to read, I'm not reading them anymore. Or I might just glance over them or something. In other words, things are changing, but the reason they're changing is not because God is just doing it. It's because I'm trying to apply Colossians 3, 1 through 3 to my life. Well, see, this principle is critical for every single believer. Now, I was talking about, college football. Okay. And I'm sure that a lot of the women were like, ha, 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 yeah, that's right, you know, elbow their husbands and whatever. Okay, well, ladies, what about your shoes? What about your jewelry? Now, see, somebody would take this message and twist it and say that I said all kinds of crazy stuff. And I'm not. What does it say? Set your affection. Set your affection. I mean, how many pairs of black shoes do you need? I need a pair with every outfit. Well, you know, how many outfits do I have? It's directly proportionate. You know, sounds like strange math to me. I'm just throwing out illustrations, okay? I'm not trying to put anybody under condemnation. Really, we're so trained by the world and our flesh that generally we don't truly recognize where our affections are most set. Well, I go to church, you know, like every time the doors open. I mean, how can my affections be set on anything else? Well, hey, I go to church every time the doors are open for good reason. And I still deal with these things. It's a growing, maturing process, but it's a decision on the part of the individual. You know, I want to read something to you. During prayer one time, I was listening to a sermon. I don't even remember what sermon I was listening to. But anyway, here's what the Holy Spirit began to speak. Developing the character of Christ will require disrupting the comfort of the flesh. You have to get past the desire for blessings and move into the place of a desire for His presence. This does not come automatically or by a sovereign move of grace. Otherwise, it would already have happened. Why would God keep you waiting? How does the kingdom benefit by Him continually waiting? This happens when you decide to alter your lives and step out in faith to seek His presence. It is not comfortable to the flesh. You have to get past a desire to feel a move and realize that God is moving no matter what you feel. The success of a church service is not based on what the congregation feels. It is based on the sincerity and attitude of the hearts of those present regarding how they seek God. It is good to have a visitation by God, but creating a habitation for Him is far better. Too many Christians and churches are waiting for God to move. God is waiting for you to facilitate His move through beating the flesh and seeking after Him. There is nothing about your unregenerate flesh that willingly fellowships with the life and nature of God or cooperates with your born-again life. Nothing. Nothing about the flesh is compatible with the new nature. Absolutely nothing. And I've encountered a lot of Christians. It's almost like, I'm not even sure how to put this into words. It's like that they're in rebellion to this concept. Well, you know, you have to seek these things and set your affection on these things. Well, I love the Lord. That is such a catchphrase. I love the Lord. What Christian is going to say, yeah, praise God, I'm born again and I can't stand the Lord? Who's going to say anything like that? We're all going to say, I love Jesus. I love the Lord. Well, you know, I've been married now for a long time. And I love Kathy. But I also pay attention to her. If I never said anything to her, completely ignored her, you know, walk into the living room and just, you know, kind of wave or something like that. I mean, if that was the extent of it, do you think she'd start to wonder if I still loved her? And you know how women are, man, they can be weird. They come up, do you still love me? It's like, what? You see this right here? this thing I got on my, yes, are you sure you still love me? Yeah, I still love you, but you just never hug me anymore. I hugged you all day yesterday, but that was yesterday. I'm this like, oy vey. You know what I'm saying. And I'm not trying to be critical of women. Women are different than men. You know, men, hey, I'll hug. Okay, that's cool. If I completely ignored her, she would start to wonder, and I understand that. If I just said, well, yeah, I love you. Well, yeah, I love you. Well, yeah, I love you. Well, yeah, I love Kathy. But where is the proof? See, it's different with God. I can't hug God. I can't, figuratively speaking, you know, give Him a kiss on the cheek. The only thing that I can do is give Him me. That's it. The only thing that I can do is give Him me. And that translates into time. That's it. Well, I could worship. Well, when you worship, is that not consuming time? When you pray, is that not consuming time? Absolutely. When you get into the Word, is that not consuming time? Yes, it is. See, that's the only thing that I can do is give Him time. And this whole thing of seeking those things which are above, that requires time. And this thing of setting your affection on things above, that requires a redistribution or reapplication of my time. Because if I'm setting my affection on things above, I will use my time differently than what I have been. So does this mean it's wrong to watch a college football game? No, it's not wrong. I can remember years ago, I liked watching old movies. And, you know, like westerns and whatever. And I remember one time I was watching a movie. And I don't remember that this was a movie I'd ever seen before. I mean, it's been so long, I don't recall. Anyway, watching this movie, about halfway through, I picked up the remote and I turned it off and I walked out of the room. Now, this was a movie I was really interested in. Like, man, this is cool. Turned it off and walked out of the room. And I don't remember if I said this internally or externally, but it was something to the effect of, if I cannot get up and walk away from a movie, I've got a real problem. And that broke something in me. And I can tell you now, I mean, I can turn a program off in the middle of it and walk away. You may think that's no big deal. There are a lot of people, they cannot break free from the television. Now, I'm not harping on any one particular thing. I'm using things that we can all identify with, and you may not have a problem with any of this. The point I'm making is, if we are going to become what we're supposed to become, the principle revealed here has to be applied to our lives. There is no option. None. If I don't make the decision to seek those things which are above, guess what I won't find? I won't find those things that are above. You know, it's interesting. We sang that song during praise and worship. The more I seek you, the more I find you. The more I find you, the more I love you. I had no idea. When this sermon was coming together, I mean, Jamie did not know that this sermon was going to be what it is tonight. And that song is about this message. Well, if I don't set my affection, this means I have to be the one to control me. There are a lot of men out there, they got this thing about they want to have every tool that's ever been made. And, you know, I'll admit, when I go into the tool section of like Sears and Home Depot or whatever, and I see a lot of these tools, it's like, man, that thing is cool. I have no idea what it does, but it looks so cool. If I buy one, maybe I can figure out how to use it. A lot of men have issues with that. That's because, well, it's not wrong to have tools, come on. But when that is your point of affection beyond what it should be, yeah, okay, there's a problem there. If we understood how much we needed to do this and what awaits us as we do this, we would fight harder to do what he's describing here in this passage. We become very complacent in our relationship with God. Now, I'm guilty too. Very complacent. We judge ourselves according to our own standards. Well, I'm okay. I mean, everything's okay between me and God. I'm fine. Oh, I've never walked on water, never raised the dead, but everything's okay with me. I know. I need to do better. I know that. Everybody says that. Everybody says, well, I need to do better. That's because that's what we've been trained to say. We've been trained to say, I love you, Jesus. I'll lay my life down. You know, I remember being in churches where, you know, they'd have testimony time. And somebody would stand up and they'd talk about all their problems and all the stuff the devil's doing and blah, 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 blah. No, but I just love the Lord with all my heart and I love all of you too. You know, just pray for me that I make it through. I heard that so many times. That's because we're trained to say those things. And it's like we want it to be real, but it's not as real as what it should be. And he's saying here, look, if you're born again, that's the starting point. You have to make a decision to seek those things which are above. Well, see, a lot of people would say, well, what are those things that are above? What are they? What am I supposed to be seeking? Okay, if that is your thought, you have just identified a real problem area. Because the Bible gives us a revelation of what we're seeking. Let me show you, just a little bit. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. And let's just begin reading here in verse 17. Now, as we read through this, this is a revelation of things we are seeking. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and has put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. This is a part of what we're seeking. It's the comprehension of all of this. For example, it says right here, what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead? Okay, do you know what is His mighty power? What is the mighty power that He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead? What is that mighty power? Well, Brother Martin, I don't know. That's one of the things you're seeking. And that is one of the critical aspects of being born again. Because what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward? To usward. To usward. According to the working of His mighty power that He wrought when He raised Christ from the dead. In other words, what He's telling you is the power that He used to raise Christ from the dead is power to usward. So do you know what that power is? Well, Brother Martin, no, I don't. Okay, that's part of what we're seeking, along with enlightened eyes, so on and so forth. But there's more. In Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 16, that He, God, would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. This is what we are seeking. This is added to the list of those things that we are seeking, those things which are above. Look back in Colossians, look in chapter 1, beginning in verse 9. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet or qualified us to be partakers of, not just recipients of, but partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. This is another list of those things that we are seeking. Now, I've read passages to you from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17 through 23, Ephesians 3, 16 through 19, and Colossians 1, 9 through 14. I could take those passages alone and teach only on those passages for probably, I'm guessing, maybe up to 5 years straight. And even then, not cover all of it correctly. Completely. Because this is a revelation to us of things that are above. So when I begin to set my affection on things that are above, what I'm doing is I'm setting my affection on these things, and I don't even know for sure what they are. But I'm making a decision to set my affection on things above because they are things above. Then I begin to get into the Word. And as I get into the Word and I'm meditating the Word, He begins to give me the revelation of those things that I am seeking. A list of which we just compiled from three different passages of Scripture. But there's so much more. This is all a part of conforming to the image of the glory of Christ. This is all a part of us becoming who we're supposed to become in Jesus Christ. But the thing is, guys, if we don't do this, if we do not do our part, He can't do His part. I have to make that decision that I am no longer going to have a disproportionate affection for things on the earth. I am going to have a priority affection for those things which are above. It is a decision that I make. You say, "Wow, yeah, Brother Martin, but you know, you're the pastor. I mean, you better make that kind of decision." Hey, if ye be risen with Christ, it doesn't say if ye be the pastor. If ye be risen with Christ. So if you're here tonight and you're watching and you're born again, then you're risen with Christ, and the rest of it applies to every single believer. Every single believer. This is a responsibility. See, this is one of the reasons why a lot of Christians, they struggle so much in life trying to figure out, well, I just don't know what God wants. Well, I was like that at one time. And God's will is what I would call progressive revelation. What I mean is, I doubt there's anybody in the body of Christ that knows exactly what they're supposed to do 5 years from now. You understand what I mean by that? He reveals His will to us progressively as we're moving forward in the will we know. So therefore, as I begin to seek those things which are above, I begin to understand that aspect of His will, which is exactly part of what He was talking about in these passages that we just read. You know, this whole thing here about strengthened with in Colossians 1:11, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Patience, long-suffering, and joyfulness. How many Christians need those? And He says, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power. Strengthened with all might according to His glorious power. Human effort will never gain it. Never. Strengthened. I'm strengthened with might according to His glorious power, and it is producing patience, long-suffering, and joyfulness. Well, if those things are void and missing, then here's an answer. Seek those things which are above. Now, a lot of Christians struggle relative to, well, I'm just tired of being the way I am. Is this all there is to being a Christian? No. Well, I just wish, hey, Stop wishing and start doing. Seek those things which are above and set your affection on those things which are above. You see, it's your choice. You just do it. And as much as you think you've done it, there's more to do. There's more to seek. There's more transference of affection from things that are on the earth to things that are above. Now, before you send me any emails about making you feel guilty over your college football, re-listen to this. Because again, all of the things I used as examples, those things in and of themselves are not wrong. The key is the affection. The affection. And that's where we have to fight the flesh big time. Some people have, when you're talking about sports, some people have an affection for basketball. Some people have an affection for hockey. I do not understand that at all. I mean, hockey, come on. You know, they give every participant a weapon and then penalize them for using it. What kind of... I don't get it. But then I'm not from Canada, eh? Hey, we could come up with all kinds of lists of affection things. It's a decision we make. And I want to encourage you tonight, you know, think about your own life. Are there any areas of affection that need to be diminished? And if there are, ask God, He'll help you. But you have to be the one to make the decision to redirect that affection. I want to seek those things which are above more and more. I want to understand. I want the eyes of my understanding to be enlightened. I want all spiritual wisdom and understanding. I want this. I want it. And I'm gaining in it, and so will you when we make those decisions. Praise God. Father, this could be a real challenging message for a lot of people, but yet it's in your word. So I pray for me, and I pray for everybody who's heard this, that they would be encouraged to realize there is so much more of you that is waiting for us. And that we would be encouraged also to examine our lives and to really take a hard, honest look at where our affections have been set. And if there needs to be adjustments, then Father, may we make those adjustments. Because the benefit is eternal. Praise your holy name, Father. Bless you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Father. My prayer, Father, is that everybody here, everybody who watches, that there would be a hunger develop on the inside of us to truly seek those things which are above. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. Father, may this next year be a year of greater spiritual growth for all of us than any single year we've ever experienced before. Thank you for what you're doing in our midst, preparing us for what is coming.